You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto, and we are ever so glad you could join us today. Art Factory, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you.
Are you?
Yeah.
We got a fun show today. You know why?
I can see why.
Sitting next to me, Todd Maffin is in the house. Todd's in the house.
In the hisay, as the kids say.
In the what?
In the hisay.
Who says that?
Kids.
What is a hisay?
I don't know. I'm not a kid anymore. I just hear it.
You've heard that? Have you ever heard that, Maffin?
I have never. But yeah, I don't hang out with the cool kids like you, like Art does, though.
See?
Art doesn't hang out with the cool kids.
Well, I share the bus with the cool kids. And so when I'm waiting at the bus stop, I can hear the cool kids talking. I pick up a few things and make myself sound cooler than you two.
That's not difficult.
Completely off track here. Anyways, we got Todd Maffin in with us. Todd, of course, a renowned keynote speaker and a technologist who often is wrong. So we brought him into the show so that I could set him straight. Oh, you got an evil grin on your face there, Maffin. That's we'll see.
Should I get a rim shot ready off my app here? No, that's not a rim shot. Yeah, whatever.
It wasn't too good. It was a nice try though. And Factora, what's up with you?
Well, I'm going up to Kelowna this weekend. I've got a show at a fantastical restaurant called the Yellow House up there.
I know that place.
Yeah, it sounds. I've never been to this particular restaurant, but I looked online. I believe it's yellowhouserestaurant.ca, and it's already sold out. So apparently, the people.
Yeah, because it seats like 12. I saw that. It's a good size.
I was told that we're going to be outside. There's going to be 60 people. Watching.
60 people.
Yes.
So, just for our, now.
Well, no, not just for me. I'll be going up with my buddy Patrick Maliha.
Okay, and now when you're doing your routine, is your routine? I've never gone to your routine.
No, you. Although I've invited you many times.
You've invited me twice.
Okay, okay. Multiple times.
Yeah, yeah. There was always a good reason.
Sure.
Like, I didn't want to go. Now, is your routine PG or is it X or R?
It kind of depends on how much time I have to do. If I do a full 30 minutes, I would say that I push some boundaries for some fairly conservative types. But overall, it's all done. Like nothing. I don't think anybody would leave the room thinking anything poorly of me if they wanted to leave. Yeah.
Have you ever done any stand up, Todd?
Not on purpose. No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
You've been tempted?
No. You know, I tried to. I mean, whenever I do keynote speaks, I try to make it funny like yours are.
Yeah.
But I don't ever, I'm not very good at timing, I find.
That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know what the secret of good joke is? Timing.
Exactly.
Is that right? That's the oldest one in the book. Because the reason I'm asking is because I was thinking, you know, you and I should probably frickin' frack and join up and we should enter the King of Comedy competition that Art's putting on. Because Art's like executive producer,
the assistant executive producer.
Okay, but of the most important comedy competition in Western Canada.
Do you know the time I got my biggest laughs is I was giving a speech in Estevan, Saskatchewan.
Mm.
That's not the punchline. And it was the middle of winter.
And all the big rooms.
all the big rooms. It was the credit union there. Great group of people. But I had to get there on my own.
I think I was up for that talk. You got that talk. You son of a gun.
And you count your blessings. Because I had to get there on my own driving a car, which, as you know.
You don't like to do.
I don't like to do. But so I had this GPS. And it was the dead of winter. And I basically just told them the story for the first 5 minutes of my speech of getting in this GPS, because you know when you're in the snows here. I was born and raised in Vancouver, so I'm not familiar with driving in the snow. And I guess when you're driving, there are these sort of icy grooves that form in the street. You know what I mean? Those, mm-hmm. I think they're called ruts.
Yes.
And I had to make a left turn, and the GPS kept saying make a left turn, but there were no left turn ruts available. So I just felt like a kid in those carnival cars, or you got a steering wheel, but it doesn't do anything.
You were stuck in a rut. You were.
I was literally stuck in an icy rut of death. And they found it hysterical that, you know, a city guy who barely
couldn't
sees
figure out
snow.
How to turn his way out of a rut.
So it wasn't literally a stand-up comedy act, but I think I was mocked and became
I think
one.
They were laughing at you, not with you.
The whole there's idea no behind, doubt about that.
The whole idea behind comedy, I'm pretty sure, is to have them laughing with you, correct, yeah. Mr. Factor?
It really depends on how much alcohol is being consumed at the time.
Okay, fair enough.
Sometimes you just want the laugh. It doesn't matter at what expense.
At any cost. So now you were mentioning before the show that you're considering upgrading your personal technology collection.
Well, as you know, I just became a full-time employee after 3.5 years at this radio station. So my pay went up a little bit, and I find myself at some of the computer stores, the London Drugs, and every time I just get drawn towards like the laptop section, and I'm thinking that I want to increase my Apple family.
Mm.
And that Apple family.
What
would
a change I've wrought upon you, Mr. Factor.
I knew you were going to do
you
this.
Were just like, Mr. No, Apple sucks.
I can't even talk about it anymore because I feel you're, every time you have to mock
I'm
me.
Judging you.
Well, you are judging me. Absolutely.
You'd be disappointed if I didn't, though.
That's true. I would feel like you don't care anymore.
So what do you have as far as computing power at home right now?
Right now I've got a netbook I bought a couple years ago, which really doesn't do anything for me. Now, especially now that I got an iPad. It completely replaced the iPad. The netbook does nothing for me.
So you're considering a notebook?
I am. Yes.
What are you thinking about getting?
Well, I've been looking. I just touch them and want. I don't want to know too much because I'm scared to spend so much. But I'm thinking about an Air or a MacBook Pro.
Oh, so you're gonna stay in the Mac community. So, in what is your main purpose of the notebook?
Well, just for something more than. Well, I mean, what it is, right? It's more than an iPad, but less than a desktop. I'd love to be able to just be to use it as an audio editing system.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Okay.
And maybe a video editing system.
Ah. Well, Todd, I'm sure you have an opinion, but I don't think you want an Air then.
Okay.
No. What do you think?
Yeah, this is why I like London Drugs. I buy all my computer stuff from them because those guys know their stuff so well. So I would just tell them the kind of stuff that you're interested in doing.
Yeah.
However, I do a lot of audio editing myself, not as much as I used to, and some video work. And the 15-inch MacBook Pro with the high resolution. Now, we're not talking about the Retina display, which gives you more clarity on the screen. We're talking about high resolution, meaning you can pack more stuff onto the same size screen. Might be a special order, so the London Drugs guys can definitely bring it in for you, but you'll find that, and it's only like an extra $50 or something, you can fit like 40% more. So when you're doing video editing or Photoshop work or anything, even AutoCAD, you know, stuff where you need to kind of see lots of space like you would for long chunks of audio, the high resolution screens are definitely going to be good.
See, I would never go with a high resolution screen again.
Why?
Personally, because my eyesight is failing. It's not as good, and I need big menus. And your menu size gets commensurately smaller, as does everything else. Even with the settings that you do to make the menu slightly larger. So, but I do think that you want a notebook with a real hard drive, because audio and video files do take up more space than what you're going to comfortably get. It's going to come down to storage.
Sure.
And you know what? I've got a 13-inch MacBook Pro, and it's been an awesome notebook. I could happily use that as a desktop replacement. And you might consider at some point even, you know, adding another monitor, an external monitor, and then docking it.
That's what I do. Yeah, I've got like a 27-inch huge monitor at the office. You know, here's another thing to get to if people listening do a lot of travel or they work on confidential stuff, is you can buy this really cool 3M privacy screen. I've got one on my iPhone right now. And if someone is sitting beside you in a plane, they cannot see your screen at all. It's the same technology that bank ATMs use. You know, you walk up to a bank, and if you're just slightly off to the left or the right, you can't really make out what's on the screen, that coating. It gives you this plastic coating. It looks kind of like sunglass material, sort of, but it's plastic, and you just kind of tape it to the... It comes with specific tape, and you can tape it to the front of the screen, and then it acts normally. You never have to take it off or on again, and it's phenomenal. I have people sitting beside me on planes that think I am typing away on a computer that's off, because the screen is black to them. 3M, really good stuff.
Is it expensive?
Yeah, it's come down in price. It used to be about $150 for a piece of plastic.
Wow.
Yeah, the ones that are specifically formed, you want to get them, especially for the Macs that are specific to that Mac model, and they're about $70 or $80.
Mm-hmm. Again, but it also protects your screen.
It protects your screen. Now, you can get them for the iPhone as well.
Is it easy to clean? That's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like cleaning the front of a regular monitor. Here's the problem, though. When you apply it for the first time, make sure that your screen and the plastic is cleaned before it goes on. I made the mistake. There's this little cat hair a little cat hair.
Oh,
that
it's the worst, isn't it?
And it's stuck there now, right? Because I would have to remove the backing to get it off. So, but that's okay. But they're great. You know, if you do any sort of confidential work, or you do a lot of travel, or you just don't want your spouse to know what you're doing on your computer, 3M, they're really good.
Mm, privacy screen, and you use it on your. I noticed you have it on your iPhone too. You like to keep it kind of, because you were trying to show me something, then he had to keep turning it farther and farther.
Yeah,
because I couldn't see it.
What are you looking on your computers that you don't?
Well,
want?
not what you're thinking.
Maybe I don't want to ask.
Well, you know, if you're doing reports for a client, you know, for our company, we want to keep that stuff, you know, under wraps for them.
Oh yeah, when I'm sitting on a plane, if I'm working on my presentation, preparing, I don't like people next to me seeing what I'm working on. You know, it's just you don't want to open that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that it's private. It's not that it's just you don't really want anybody looking, because then the temptation for them is to start looking at your screen, and then you start feeling self-conscious, and then you start thinking about whether or not, you know, you can write about this or that. And then they also notice all my spelling mistakes, which really drives me a little bit crazy.
And they probably want to talk to you, and then now you're not as productive as you'd want to be on your airplane.
Yep.
Yes. Right. No, and the magic for airplane, which I learned years ago, the magic thing to keeping privacy on the airplane is headphones. As soon as you put the headphones on, people don't try and talk to you.
That's right.
And so even if I'm not listening to music, I put the headphones in, and then people don't try and talk to me. It's a good. And it's not that I'm that antisocial. It's just that, you know, I do appreciate the working time on a flight.
One last question on the notebook idea. Yeah. I actually found this great little used computer store down the street from a restaurant that I frequent. Wondering what your thoughts are on getting a secondhand Apple product.
I don't really have too much issue with that. Some of the Mac hard drives have in the past been really terrible, and they've had issues. If you are thinking that route, I would recommend that you take a look at Apple, go to the apple.ca site, and take a look at their demo gear, because there you get between 15 and 20% off, and it's been refurbished by Apple.
Okay.
And so that's an option as well. That's if you really want to. But, you know, some it's like a, you know, art.
I know. You want the box. You want the experience.
I think you want the experience of being the first guy to use the computer.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to you now.
I know.
You're a Mac fanboy now.
Apparently. Look what you've done to me.
Welcome to the dark side.
You're killing me.
Well, it is, the ironic thing is I think I'm getting a new notebook in the fall, which is not going to be a Mac for a period. I think I'm going to get one of the new Samsung notebooks, because there's some profound reasons, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But I think we should probably take a break. Then we're going to talk to Maffin about technology, more technology stuff. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs.
Do you have a
Nobody does it better.
Question for
Dotto Tech,
maybe
visit
you.
Our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
I am sitting down with my guest, Todd Maffin. Todd has been, of course, he's a very popular keynote speaker on all things technology. His site, toddmaffin.com, he blogs about everything from, are you through the Big Brother phenomenon?
No, are you kidding? The American Big Brother is on now.
Oh, is it better than the Canadian?
I got a whole new addiction to work on now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You are a bit addicted to reality television, aren't you?
Well, the psychologically cruel reality television.
Did you do the Housewives of Vancouver thing?
No, that's just glitter and gloss and made up stuff.
They were mean people.
Yeah, I like people knifing each other in the back while smiling to each other.
Okay, so that's and it's also the prizing of the fact it's kind of like Survivor. There's a prize that you're working towards at the end.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Do you watch the Survivor?
I don't watch the Survivor. I watch the Amazing Race Canada.
Oh yes,
that's sort of fun.
Yes, they've got. They had a whole mix. Almost everybody I know applied. Did you apply to that, Art?
I know a couple comics who applied for, and they are shortlisted, but
yeah.
I did not apply for.
Okay,
it's so sad, you know, the Canadian reality shows.
I think you and I would rock on. Just I'm saying right now on Great Race Canada, because between us, we've been to every hamlet and burg in this town,
yeah.
In this country. So you know, they'd be saying you have to go to you know, Moose Splint. At Manitoba. And, oh, yeah, I gave a talk there.
Yeah.
2003.
It's not worth it, though. All the prizes for the Canadian reality shows are, you know, in the U.S. it's like, you win $1 million. And in Canada, it's like, you win a $20 gift card to Tim Hortons. I mean.
Yeah. And a three-month lease.
Yeah.
on a Honda.
And a discount on your credit rating. Yeah.
Yeah. What's with that? You know, you get a car for a year.
Well, we have 1/10 the population of the U.S.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. That was that kick to win, that Tim Hortons kick to win that they did in the football thing the other day. Is the guy won $100,000, but they were going to pay him like $1,000 a month for the next 100 years. There was, I can't remember what the numbers were, but it was. Anyways, it wasn't quite, didn't quite work out for him the way that he thought it was going to. Let's enough about this. Let's talk about the world of technology. And one of the things that that I've been noticing, Todd, is I've been seeing you advertising like crazy in my Facebook feed about your summer school. Tell me about your summer school.
Well, a lot of business owners, even if it's small business, retail, or, you know, like realtors or accountants or things like that, are always kind of looking for ways to use Facebook. And I think we've gotten to that point within Facebook where it's become so busy, it's hard to kind of break out. So every year I do a summer school with people. It's all online, so they don't have to show up anywhere. They can take it in their PJs. But they're live courses. We do it Tuesday and Thursday in August at 10 in the morning. And then they're all pre-taped. And this one is specifically about Facebook advertising. So how do you grow a business using Facebook ads, or get more leads, or get more customers, or more visibility using those ads? And, you know, Facebook is it's eerily, creepily targetable. I mean, I'm running ads right now because I'm helping produce a musical that's launching tonight, in fact, in New York. And so I have targeted people who live in the zip code. If they don't live in the same zip code as the Manhattan Repertory Theater, they do not get to see this ad. And they have to like theater-like pages, and they have to be a specific demographic. But you can target people who live in East Van, who are interested in yarn.
No, we can't do postal code lookups yet in
Not
Canada.
Yet in Canada, no. But
you
know,
can in the States.
Well, in the States, you can get zip code targeting. You know, you can kind of fake it, though, in Canada. You can say, you know, I want people who like pages about East Vancouver. And so it's kind of the bucket of stuff. So you can kind of get there. Mm-hmm. And you can also kind of have people sort of self eliminate. If you target everyone in Vancouver and you say for East Van residents, people probably aren't going to click on it if they're not in East Van. But Facebook advertising is a phenomenal.
I've been doing a lot more on Facebook. Of course, we completely refreshed the Dottotech Facebook page about a month ago and started to really invest a lot more of our time in managing and in trying to grow it. But I feel kind of like we've crossed a threshold with Facebook, where Facebook, the commercial side of Facebook was always looked at with a certain amount of disdain by the user community. But Facebook, I think, has been so relentless in making changes that we haven't wanted to Facebook, that the users haven't wanted, that are all based on Facebook making money, that the whole idea of commerce on Facebook is now becoming somewhat acceptable. Yeah. Am I off base there?
Yeah, I think so. You know, no, I mean, I don't think you're off base. I think that's right. Part of the challenge with Facebook is, of course, as soon as they went public, they had all this money they had to make. So people, advertisers, are now finding ways. This is one of the things we teach in summer school, is how to get your ad into that all-important news feed. The news feed, if people are on Facebook and know it, is where all of your friends' updates are listed. It's where all the brands you like are listed. And now you can target your ad right in there. So while, you know, people are reviewing, you know, they get back home from the day and they're going through, you know, what their friends are up to. If you're a realtor, you can put an ad right in that newsfeed. It doesn't even look like an ad; it just looks like a post promoting your services.
And you can do that by the same geo-targeting.
Absolutely, you can target by. You can say, "I have run ads, and I've pulled up on your computer." If you don't believe me, I've targeted.
I believe you.
British grandmothers who like Chuck Norris. I ran ads specifically to that group of people.
What were you advertising to them?
It just said click like if you like Chuck Norris.
Oh, just
just
to
kind of test it. Yeah.
How many British grandmothers did you get?
I got 3 clicks off that.
Okay.
you can target single lesbians in Alberta who are conservative voters who, well, that kind of gets it down to almost zero at that point, but, you know, who like bracelets. You can, you know, you really get very, very specific.
Okay.
Was it the same 3 clicks on the grandmas?
Well, it was not.
Chuck Norris?
So the summer school, so it's 8 weeks long.
No, it's
seven
modules. So for 3 weeks, we do 2 a week. And if people can't attend during those live modules, the live courses, they can always go online and watch them, obviously. And we take you through everything, including the most important, which is advertising with zero budget. So how do you get there without any money?
So that was the next question I was going to ask, is what should a small business be thinking about spending on Facebook? Is there a guidelines that are kind of, you know, rough guidelines of how much?
Well, the more you spend, the more you get. So you've got to have a reasonably compelling offer. But there's a couple of different ways you can do it. If what you're just trying to do is get more people to like your page, which means more visibility on the newsfeed, more people will see your posts from your business, then there's a couple of ways to do it. One is create really good content and ask people to like your page. But if all you want to do is promote it to a certain group of people and sort of have that uptick of more and more people liking your page, you can say to Facebook, I'm willing to give you X number of dollars a day, And after I've served that number of ads, whatever that is, a couple thousand ads for a couple of bucks a day, literally, you can go down to $1 a day. If that's all you want to spend is $1 a day, and you'll get in front of about 1,000 people for that. So you can, it can be reasonably inexpensive. I think right now I'm running campaigns for $10 a day for people to like my page. But the people that I want to spend my money on, that I want to see like my page.
That's the thing. It's because there has to be, I'm pretty sure that because of the gamification of this, because really, you know, you're going to have a measurable success regardless of what you do. I mean, the fact that you can get grandmothers who like Chuck Norris.
Yes.
Like, there's no commercial viability of that particular search or that particular
campaign. It's small,
campaign.
For sure, yeah.
It is small. But the bottom line is that you can get people to like your page. You can get, so you can get a milestone of success. But what's the end goal? Like, if you're just getting people to like your page, then you're, what you're doing is you're increasing the likelihood that Facebook is going to show your content in their feed. So
yes,
you need a strategy going pretty far downstream. The advertising is just a part of it. You need to know what you're asking for and what success looks like.
Well, and you need to know whether the ads have paid off. Well, one of the things that's really cool in Facebook is you can do what's called conversion tracking. And conversion to online advertisers just mean a successful completion of a business goal that you have. So let's say in your case, Steve, a business goal would be someone completing the form saying, ask Steve to come give a speech, because that's worth some money to you, right?
Yeah.
So so you set up an ad that targets people likely to be interested in that. So meeting planners, conference planners, speakers, agencies, you target those people. And when they click on it, it sends them to that contact form. So that click goes to the form that says, fill this form out and we'll get back to you. On that page, you know, whenever you complete an order or you complete a thank you page or a contact me page, there's always a second page that comes up. After you hit submit, it thinks for a second and it says, okay, thank you, we've processed your order. Or, okay, thank you, Steve, we'll get back to you. Or, okay, thank you, here's your credit card receipt. That okay thank you page is the conversion tracked page. That's the page you put this little bit of code on that reports back to Facebook, okay, there's been a successful completion of this. So you can see right in the Facebook Ad Manager, which is free to use, you know, it's part of that whole system, you can say, I want to know how many people saw my ad, how many times did they see it on average, how many people clicked on my ad, and of those people, how many people were conversion to it. So the summer school program that I run costs $147. So I can track, and we've got a discount for folks listening to the show as well, which we can talk about. I can track down to the penny how many people have converted based on which ad they saw. So I'm running three or four different versions of ads. You know, some talk about one component of it, some talk about the 100% money back guarantee, and I can see which one is converting more and how much money I'm spending and how much money I'm earning from it. It's really powerful that way.
So these tools are, these analytics tools basically that you're talking about, are incredibly powerful, but they aren't that difficult, but they really aren't for the faint of heart either. How many small business owners can realistically expect to run an effective campaign themselves? And how often should they just kind of educate themselves on it, but then hire professionals to actually help them with the process?
I think it's achievable for most people. I really do. Yeah. I mean, my mom runs them, and she's, you know, just turned 70, and she's, you know, has a calligraphy hobby, essentially. So yeah, it's really easy. You go up to that ad manager and you say, this is what I want the headline to look like. Here's the text I want it to be. Here's how much money I want to spend. And here are the type of people I want to target. And it walks you through all of it. And it's literally click. It says men or women. And you click men. And it says what age. And you click that age. So it makes it really easy.
The question is, the challenge points that I always have whenever I look at it is the copywriting for these small ads.
Yes.
Oh, it is so difficult. You're limited to about 30 words or so.
Yeah, it's a small number, and you know what you'll find is you're always one character short of what want it to be. You know, you're like buy now, and all you get is buy no.
And then the other thing is you can't set where the line break is.
That's true. Yeah,
which is I found really frustrating. So you have a statement that you want to be on one line, and then you want the text to start on the next line, and there's no way to force that.
Well, there's a way. I mean, what you're talking about is trying to catch people's eyes, and there's ways to do it. You can put in an actual check mark, and you know, or you can there's some best practices like putting a small red border around photographs seem to pop the page. You get more people engaging with it for whatever reason if they see a red or a bright yellow border around the photo in the ad. So all these best practices and a whole back, you know, a whole bunch more we teach in summer school will all help you in building that. So yeah, there's, you know, and I made tons of mistakes at first when I started placing ads. I would just say, you know, click like my page, and no one did. And so then I started saying, okay, like my page to get digital marketing tips. And then it went up more. And then I said, like my page to get free digital marketing tips. And then it went up even more. So, you know, you're always kind of playing with it and seeing which ones work and which ones don't.
Okay. Now, so the where people go to register for the seminar is?
It's all online, and all the list of all the seven modules and everything you get as well is at the following address, bit.ly. We've talked about Bitly links before. So bit.ly/DottoSummer.
Yeah, because it's going to be a special one, so he knows how many people came from listening to this show. Are you thinking about signing up? You should be using Facebook.
I should be. I've got a few pages that I manage, and obviously a lot of shows that I'm trying to push. And
yeah,
I didn't realize how cheap it was to get views.
Now, just a complete aside here, but do comics advertise their own shows? Like, do you often, is there value in you promoting one of your appearances yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have no marketers, and the problem with comics is that typically we're very lazy.
So here's what I would do.
Why we became comics.
Here's what I'd do for you. What other comedian would you compare your kind of comedy to? Pick a couple of comedians that do sort of similar style.
Bill Cosby?
Sure. No. Yeah. Let's just use him as an example.
Okay. Yeah. As an example? So, and where's the thing coming up? It's in Kelowna?
Well, the Kelowna gig, and we've also got a couple of Rio shows in August.
So the Kelowna gig sold out already, so that's not the one to do it with.
Okay, well, let's use that as an example. Okay. We can target people who live within 20 miles of Kelowna, in Kelowna, who like pages related to comedy, and or people who like Bill Cosby already. So we can say, you're not wasting your money on, you know, tons of people in Kelowna who may or may not care about comedy. You're saying, no, I want to reach, I want to reach even the type of humor. I want to reach men aged 25 to 50 who live within 20 miles of Kelowna, or 20 kilometers, I guess, who like Bill Cosby or related pages. And so your money's really well spent that way.
Because I don't think I've ever seen a comic advertised in my feed.
You know what else is cool? Is as you fill this out, it will tell you how many people fit in that criteria. So maybe in the break we'll do that, and we can tell you down to about 5 or 10 people. You know, we'll be able to say, okay, in Kelowna there are X number of people who you would reach by doing that.
And actually, now that we're thinking about it here, such ideas were percolating, because you can drive people to a page on your Facebook page that you can have a little video clip playing of your stand up, and then you can sign them up for a newsletter or something like that at that point. That would be a way that you build your brand, I would say.
And Facebook will tell you how many people clicked on the link, how many people clicked on the link and went on to watch your video, how many people watched the video and bought a ticket.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think I don't need to go to your workshop anymore.
Trust me. It would be well worth signing up for. So the address again
the address is bit.ly/DottoSummer. And I've put a special secret discount code only for Seattle 650 listeners. And if you look for the little link that says enter promotional code, put the word Dotto in there and it will take 25% off.
Oh.
So bit.ly/DottoSummer. All one word, and then use the promotional code Dotto, and you'll get that 25% taken out.
That sounds like a bargoon. You're gonna sign up, aren't you?
It sounds like it.
I don't know. There's that many seats left, so you may want to get in on that sooner than later. I think we're down to 8 left.
Well, there we go. It's good stuff. Let's take a quick break, and we're gonna extend this conversation because we've been talking about Facebook a lot, but I've been doing a lot of research lately on Google+. Are you up to chatting about that?
Absolutely.
We're going to continue Social Media Marketing Day here on Dotto Tech. I'm Steve Dotto, guest Todd Maffin with Art Factora. Stick around.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it
better.
For Dotto Tech,
maybe
visit
you.
Our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
We are talking with Todd Maffin, and we are talking about online social media marketing, Facebook advertising, and kind of from the advertiser's perspective as opposed to from the consumer's perspective. But as promised, on the break, we did a little bit of research, Todd.
And
what was the results?
So I went into Facebook Ad Manager and asked it to calculate how many men in their 20s who live in Vancouver proper who already have indicated an interest in stand-up comedy, and there are 1,220 on Facebook. So you can get those stats for free really easily. So it's kind of interesting market research you could do even without placing an ad. And then we would say to Facebook, you know, we want to do whatever, $10 a day to reach those people.
For a week or something.
For a week or whatever, or a lifetime budget of $100. And And Bob's your uncle.
And you would get, and the thing is that you would appear in their feed with great frequency with that small a bucket of people that you're going to be advertising to. So that would be money well spent.
Yeah, for a couple of days, you know, you run it for about 3 or 4 days and you'll end up a frequency of about 12 or 15, which means that the average person who qualifies in that group of people will have seen it on their page between 12 and 15 times, which is about right. You know what? For advertising, you can't just sort of approach people and say, buy this. You know, you kind of got to remind them a few times over and over, 9, 10, 11 times before they finally kind of get the message. So, and you can also, through a more advanced tool called Power Editor, which we talk about in summer school, you can jam that ad right into the news feed itself. Mm. It's incredible click-through rates. And then all you do is you put that conversion tracking code on the ticket buying site, and then you can tell, Facebook will tell you how much it spent, your cost per action, your cost per conversion. So it'll say, you know, it costs you about $2.30 for every ticket you sold.
That's the key. It's return on investment.
Yep.
Now, Facebook is seemingly now, to me, becoming so much more of a consumer game. You know, as far as, because the one thing that we haven't talked about is, the challenge in Facebook is even when people like you, even people who've said that they like the Dottotech page or they like the Dottotech show, I have 1,300 or 1,400 people that have signed up for that. And any post that I put gets seen between 200 and 800, depending on a variety of circumstances.
Yes.
And that is an art, I guess it's scientific, but it's, from my perspective, a very arbitrary algorithm designed by Facebook's EdgeRank service, right? Which is basically determines who sees what that you post. And Facebook makes us play this game in order to be seen, even though and this drives people like me a little bit nuts. Because, hey, wait a minute, somebody said they like me, they want to follow me, they're interested in what I have to say, and now you're making me spend money to reach them. That's the thing that, because I always get every time I make a post on the Dottotech page, they say, would you like more people to see this? Give us money.
And the reason they do it, and you're right, it's very different than Twitter, where if you follow someone on Twitter, you're going to see their posts in their newsfeed, what they call the Twitter stream. But you know, if you follow a couple hundred people on Twitter, that's you know, potentially hundreds of updates a day. So Facebook says, well, we're not going to show the newsfeed of everyone you're friends with and all the brands you like, just the ones you engage with a lot. So if you have a business brand page, you know, whether it's for your realty or whatever you use it for, the trick is to get people to engage with your content. Because every time they do, and engage, I mean, they click like, they comment on it, or they share it to their page. Any of those three things. Or click the link.
Or pay.
Well, but that's for free so far, right?
Okay.
So every time someone takes an action on it, your edge rank with them increases. In other words, the chance of your message in the future getting on their newsfeed has gone up. But the paying kind of bypasses edge rank. It says, you know, like even those people who it wouldn't appear on the newsfeed because they're not very engaged anyway, give it some more juice and get on those people's newsfeeds anyway. Mm-hmm. And for that, they charge you.
Yeah. I see. So, I mean, I think our engagement in the last couple of months on Facebook has been pretty good because we've been creating compelling content. We've been adding energy. We've just been making the site that much more vibrant and that making it so that people want to engage with the site. So we're seeing some benefit from that. But it's, you know, it still drives me a little bit nuts for them to say, hey, I've got this great show coming up with Todd. Well, if you want anybody to hear about it, Steve, give us $10.
And, you know, the numbers are really low. For if you have a brand page on Facebook, the numbers are between 10 and 15% on average of your fans. That, again, those people who click like, who already want to see. Only 10 to 15% of those people are actually seeing the content. So now, of the people that engage with you a lot, more of those people are seeing it. If every time someone sees you on the newsfeed and they don't take a click action, if they keep doing that after 2 or 3 weeks, eventually they just won't see you in their newsfeed at all. So you, as the brand owner, have to encourage people to do that. You know, comment on this. Is why on Facebook you see a lot of brands saying, tell us this, or click like if that, or share this, or, you know, they're really encouraging you to, because if you don't, their content will appear less frequently on your newsfeed.
Which is a kind of a message for the consumer as well. Don't be passive. Engage in the brands that you like, or in the pages, or in the services that you like.
Or so the friends. If you see a friend that you want to see more on your newsfeed,
so click like on it.
Yeah.
And that action Facebook takes note of.
Yep.
So all of you people out there who are huge, huge Dottotech followers, click like or share. It's even better to share a post. That even does better.
Share it, yeah. There's different, you know, EdgeRank, not to get too technical, but their different actions are worth more to Facebook. So if, let's say that I like Pepsi and Coca-Cola's page, both of those brand pages, and Coke and Pepsi both post at the same time, and I see them in my news feed go by, if I only engage with Pepsi's page, and I never touch or click on Coke's, eventually I'll see less of Coke's and more of a Pepsi. If I only click like on Pepsi's page, but I comment on Coke's page, so I'm still engaging with both, but I'm commenting on Coke's and only clicking like on Pepsi, then I'll see more of Coke, because comments are worth more than likes. Shares are worth more than anything. So if you can get people, so you'll often see brands do, and in fact, you should do this if you own a brand
page. It's
paper,
rock, scissors.
Yeah, it's you know, the because, and think about it logically, though. It makes sense, right? If you care so much about a brand that you are willing to share it to your timeline and alert all your friends, Facebook says they like this content more than just clicking the like button. It does make sense. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we're going to reward that page with more.
And that's what all the brands are trying to figure out. Now, increasingly, I guess when it launched a couple of years ago, I didn't see much future for Google Plus. I kind of was one of the people coming, I don't know. And I signed up, and I've been using it, and I still just kind of use it because I feel a duty to use it. But lately, I've been looking at it a little more closely and starting to see some things in Google Plus that I think are recipes for success. I think long-term that Facebook is going to become, it'll still be relevant at least. Why are we even talking long term? Let's talk 5 years, over 5 years. So yes. This is about as far as we can, I feel I can even do any sort of prognostication on it.
Yeah.
But over 5 years, I think Google Plus is going to probably catch up to Facebook as far as overall importance in most people's lives. What do you think?
Google Plus is certainly a more advanced platform, to be sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do a lot of things on Google Plus that you cannot do on Facebook. For instance, if you're a business owner or even just your own personal use of it, when you post something on Facebook, you can't edit that post. Unless it's a photo, and then you can kind of tweak it. But if it's a status update or a link or a video, you cannot...
You got a typo, so you're embarrassed, or you take it down.
The only thing you can do is delete it entirely and repost it. And when you delete it, you lose all the likes and comments that people have posted on it. Google Plus, you can edit anytime you want. You can make certain text bold and italics on Google Plus. You can say to Google Plus, on this post and this post only, I don't want any comments. So lock the comments so that there's, you know, so that no one can comment on that particular post. Facebook doesn't have any of those things. The other thing that Google Plus is, which is nice, is they've sort of created this midway between Twitter, which is we'll show you everybody you follow with no filter, and Facebook on the other side, which is we're only going to show you the people you engage with the most. Google Plus lets you group people and pages, brand pages, into these things called circles, which are basically lists. So you can say, I've got a list called things I love and a list called things I only kind of like, which, you know, would be lousy names for those circles, but whatever. And you can say to Google Plus, if a page or a friend appears on this things I love circle, then I want to see all of these people's stuff, all of it. For the people that are in the circle called things I kind of like, I want to see, only 20% of it. And for the pages of stuff that I hate, I don't know why you'd like their page anyway or follow or circle their page, but for things you hate, you could say, and people in this group, in this circle, I don't want to see any of their stuff, but you still have connected to their brand. So you can get very, very refined as far as what you customize that news feed. However, Google has not yet, and I'm sure they're going to at some point, launched similar post advertising that
there's
that
no
Facebook
advertising
has.
Really in it now, other than the display ads down
that's
the side.
Right, yeah.
So there's no real targeted advertising.
And
you can't
change.
Go in and you can't run a Google Plus ads manager.
No. You can even on Twitter. You can in Canada, they force you to a $15,000 minimum contract because they don't have that self-service thing that Facebook does yet. Yeah. They're launching it fairly soon in Canada. But you can go into Twitter and say, I want to target women in Vancouver. But the problem with Twitter is unlike Facebook, which prompts you to say, you know, what your gender is, what the gender of the people you like are, what your age are, where you grew up, what school you, but it has all this data on you that you put in. Twitter never asks you that information. It asks you to put in your city, which you can or can't. There's not even a place for you to indicate your gender. So when you target females in Vancouver using Twitter, like trying to reach those, all Twitter's doing literally is taking a guess based on their username. So it's got all these women's names, you know, like Christina and Hannah and Sarah, and it says, okay, well, they're probably a girl. But I don't know, a name like Pat, a name like Chris with a K, are those men or women? Twitter doesn't know.
Yeah. And or Eating King.
Yeah.
Or I guess King would be a dead giveaway, but Eating Royalty.
So it's very it's tough that way.
Yeah.
So Facebook has definitely got the market on it.
The other thing that, as I've been, I just read Guy Kawasaki's book on Google Plus, and now Guy Kawasaki is, if you don't know, most listeners probably know, he was the original Apple evangelist. So he goes back into the beginning of my days in the computer industry. So even though I don't really know Guy Kawasaki.
Back in the 1700s?
Back in the 1700s. So even though I don't really know Guy Kawasaki, I know Guy Kawasaki. He's been part of, he's been on my horizon for a long, long time. And he does have usually a pretty good take on what's happening as far as trends go. And of course, he was part of the original Apple launch team, which he tells you over and over again in his book. And he was friends with Steve Jobs, which he tells you over and over again in his book. But once you can get past all of that, the points that he makes about Google Plus are quite compelling. One is, this world we live in now is based on not necessarily streams being delivered, but search being found when people look for something. And that's how people discover you. And Google Plus is all about search. So that as soon as you start posting any of your content in Google Plus, your potential visibility from anybody interested in that topic skyrockets.
Yes. Yeah, and in the online marketing world, we call that intention targeting. So it's people who have an intention to purchase something. They'll go on, they'll say, vacuum cleaner, small vacuum cleaner. You know, there's a good chance that they're actually in the market to buy one right away. Mm-hmm. So that's an area that Facebook doesn't have. But Google, you cannot do that kind of demographic targeting. You know, for instance,
no, you can't advertise, but they can find you. So if you do a good job of providing content in your space, I think Kawasaki's premise is this isn't about manipulating the system. This is about farming as opposed to hunting.
Yes.
You go out there and you say, I am an expert on small appliances, and I talk a lot about small vacuum cleaners, and I talk a lot about small blenders, and I talk about this and that and the other thing, and I'm constantly posting information of value in this area in my Google Plus stream. I've got people that follow me, and I get the juice from that. But now when somebody comes looking for that small vacuum cleaner, chances are that I'm going to rank higher in all of the search criteria that they're going to find, and they're going to discover my stuff that much more quickly and easily.
And you know what's even creepy? There's this whole other world in online advertising called retargeting. And once you type in small vacuum cleaner and you go to whatever Sears' website, I don't know whether Sears uses retargeting, but any of these sites, as soon as they've, if they use retargeting, as soon as you've landed on that vacuum cleaner page, it puts a little piece of program code on your computer called a cookie that tracks you. And now, from now on, when you go around the web, you start seeing these ads for, hey, need a vacuum cleaner? Even on other websites, CNN, CBC, The New York Times, sites that have nothing to do with vacuum cleaners, and suddenly there'll be this ad for a vacuum cleaner. Like, how does it know that? It's because it tracked it. It knew that you landed on that page. You know, I was giving a speech in Mexico at this really nice resort called Barcelo. And so I went to the website before I went to see what it was like and everything. And then for months and months afterwards, it seemed every time I was on the web, there were ads for this particular thing. And it was I was seeing them because I'd been to that website before. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. I use retargeting. If you visit my website and you go to the list of keynote presentations I have, then my site makes you an educated guess that you're in the market for that. And then my ads follow you around the web.
So they look for that. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Todd, we'll give one last plug for the for your summer school program on Facebook to get there.
bit.ly/DottoSummer and use the code Dotto to get 25% off. And it's 100% money back guarantee. You take the whole course, you don't like it, all your money comes back.
To me?
Well, no, not to you. To the people who buy it.
Awesome if it came from me. That would be a sweet deal. I would love that. And hey, we got a surprise for you. We've got a new sponsor on Dottotech. The good folks at Rome Mobility are giving our featured guests prizes. So we have for you your very own Wi-Fi hotspot for when you go traveling around the States.
Get out!
Yeah, pretty cool, eh?
That is so cool. You know what? We didn't talk about this before. I used Rome Mobility when I was down in Portland. It's phenomenal. It's so cool. I carry
you got the SIM for your phone.
The little SIM at London Drugs, right? And you plug it in. So as soon as you cross the border, you exchange it, you plug it into your phone. Now you've got a U.S. number. And the rates are so inexpensive. It's amazing.
Now you have a Wi-Fi hotspot that you can travel with, which has 500 megabytes of data. Oh, there we go.
Rock and roll.
And of course, if people are interested with the summer travel happening, you mentioned it, drop down to your local London Drugs, pick up one of these SIMs. It's far and away the least expensive way to stay in touch when you're roaming in the States. It's a great service.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, compared to the hundreds and hundreds of dollars for... Remember, I think I told you this story once before. I turned on my phone for about 20 minutes, and I got charged $900.
No way.
And I talked them down to $100. They're like, well, just pay us 50%. I said, that's offensive. I said, I'll give you $100. They're like, okay, fine. Which just shows you the profit margin, right? I mean, if they were wanting to bill me $900, and they gleefully accepted $100... So, yeah, no, that's not Roam Mobility. That's one of the regular cell phone companies.
But, yes.
Yeah, no, Roam, I love it because you can say $3. That's all I want to spend, $3 or $10 for a couple of days down there. And it's unlimited texting and unlimited calling and a huge chunk of data that I don't think most people would go through. So, yeah,
good
I know.
Stuff.
Good stuff. One of the best technology developments in the country.
Good stuff. Well, there's an endorsement. We're going to take a quick break. Todd, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.
For more information, toddmaffin.com. We will have links to a summer school on our website. Remember, there's a 25% discount using the discount code Dotto. We're going to take a quick break. Return with more of Dotto Tech in just a few minutes.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now, Julian Saunders from beautiful Saskatchewan. How's summer in Saskatchewan, Julian?
Oh, it's gorgeous. We've had nothing but sun the last little while.
Yeah? So, and your football team is doing well, so the city must be happy.
Oh, yeah. You should see what happens on Twitter when the Rough Riders play right now. It slows down all the cellular networks, too. There's so
oh,
much
really?
Chatter about it. Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
And you guys, and they got the new football arena. You guys are going to build a new stadium for, what, in 3 or 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got temporary seating and stuff in the stadium now, too. So there's
for the Grey Cup.
The Grey
sold
Cup
out.
Yeah.
They you sold
got
it out. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you have your tickets, Julian? Are you going to come to us live from Grey Cup?
I wasn't lucky enough, but you never know what happens at the last minute.
I'll
try to weasel my way into somebody's box.
There you go. Good for you. Okay, well, you got plenty of time.
You got it.
Now, let's get on to the topic for the week. You're going to talk to me about something called G-Connect. What's that?
Well, it's a new hard drive, and it's a small portable drive that you can use from your iPhone, Android, and iPad. And it's 500 gigs. It's one of the biggest ones I've seen.
So it's a portable hard drive. And is it designed to be a content delivery system for your devices? Or is it designed to be a backup device?
It's both. Its more primary use would be for content delivery. So you save your stuff on it, plug it in, and then it beams out to your smartphone or tablet on the go.
Okay, so it's got a built-in wireless router. Is that it? Is it Wi-Fi?
Yeah, that's right. It's wired or wireless. It doesn't have a battery, so you have to connect it to power, but it powers off USB, so even in a car with USB power, it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
And it can do up to 5 standard definition video streams at a time, or 3 high definitions. So it's one of the fastest wireless devices I've ever got my hands on. I played around a little bit with it, and it was very, very quick to stream things from a PC to an iPhone to an iPad to an Android. It was actually kind of amazing how I could just create a document on one of them and then click a button, and it was on all of the other devices. It was actually quite nice. Very nice apps.
So when you see a product like this, is your first thought personal use or business use?
Usually personal, just from the people that I talk to, but for business users that have any kind of larger libraries they might want to access, I know a lot of people that have large photo collections and PDF reference that they don't necessarily use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a great solution to be able to have it all without having to worry about pulling it off a server somewhere.
So in that case there, in your office environment, like in a small office, this might be just a standalone server that kind of sits on the side that just contains publicity photos or something?
Right, yeah. And there, well, like say you're a real estate agent and you have ad shots and other sheets from the houses that you've sold over the years, you can quickly and easily pull them up with the search features that are built into the G-Connect app. So it gives you the ability to do all sorts of different documents. It doesn't have to be, it's not limited. I've had some of these experiences with some of these, and sometimes they're limited on the type of content that they'll stream.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I like the G-Connect is it lets you access the whole file type. It doesn't matter what it is.
And when I hear something like this, my first thought is this is something you plug into the car as you're driving off to your holiday, and so the kids can watch their iPads and iPhones and play.
Right. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you can also keep a whole photo library on it. So if you wanted to share some photos or home movies when you're out and about, it makes that whole experience very slick.
Okay. And how much is G-Connect?
It's around $200.
So not too expensive for a. It's got a 500 gigabyte hard drive, and it's a wireless network. It's got it does it, so you don't need a router in order to access it.
That's right, yeah, and it has a USB port for your phone, so it can even act as a hotspot. So if you wanted to share the internet with a tablet that doesn't have cellular, it also has that feature.
Oh, so you can plug your phone in by USB to the hotspot and into it, and then your phone becomes the hotspot for all four or five other users that are connected to it.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's pretty creative. G-Connect, brand new product. It's only available in one configuration right now, 500 gigabytes?
That's right, yeah, just 500.
And about $200.
Yep.
There you go. Thanks so much, Julian Saunders from London Drugs.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, that has been a pretty eventful show, Art. Did you learn a lot today, Mr. Factora?
Yeah, I learned way more than I needed to.
Maffin is a fount of knowledge.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah, he knows his stuff. I'm disappointed, though.
Why?
Did not come up with anything to disagree with him with today. Normally, he's wrong about something. Because, you know what? We didn't get into talking about actual tools and the way that we do things, because he's a mess.
Well, he's gone now, Steve. You can say whatever you want.
He's a mess as far as that stuff goes. It's just the way, just his organizational tools. Although, I will give him this credit. He did encourage me to try just using Gmail as my email client. And anybody that's following our videos know that I've followed that path. And I'm just using Gmail as an email client. And he was right about that. He was right.
I now look at people who still have Hotmail accounts as like dinosaurs. It's very. I feel bad that I do that, but
I made fun of. I did a video last week. We were looking at SaneBox. It's this email cleaning filtering system, which really does a great job on all platforms, including AOL. And I said in the video, does anybody still use AOL? And I've actually had people posting and writing me, I still use AOL, Steve. And they don't sound amused by the fact that I made fun of them.
Yeah, and they probably say, my great-grandkids make fun of me.
Yeah, yeah.
For using AOL.
Yeah, I actually don't know anybody personally that does, but people have written me that saying they use it. Because I went through my email address, no AOL accounts.
It wouldn't make sense. And plus AOL, weren't they almost bankrupt? Would you imagine using that email address for the last 12 years and then one day waking up and finding out that it's gone?
My old email address, I was so sad when I couldn't. My very first email address was whimsy.com. And when they went away, I would still have Steve at whimsy.com if I could. I'd still be using the same one. The amount of spam I would get on it now would be just unbelievable. So we've had guests on for the past couple of weeks that are making us do things and pushing outside of our comfort zone. We got PJ and Reese that have got us doing this workout thing, which we're planning on starting as soon as we're back from summer holiday. Are you still on board for that?
I'm game. You, on the other hand, you're
acting
like... Oh, no. Are you kidding?
You're going to be yesterday's news.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the gauntlet is down.
We're going to have a weight off?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm just going to... It'll be just like App Wednesday. I'll choose who wins.
Okay. Fair enough.
Doesn't that seem reasonable?
You're just going to look at both of us? I look better. That's what
You look marvelous. So we got that. And then this Facebook thing. I think for you, Facebook advertising, I'm fascinated to think about what it could do for the comedians that you work with here in the city if they start to use Facebook. Because we often just don't know getting the general public out to see you perform in clubs. You guys could be using this technology, and it could be an explosion. Vancouver can become the comedy capital of North America.
At an affordable price. Oh, absolutely. I always hear the, where are you playing next? And I'm like, I post it on my Facebook all the time. Oh, I never see it.
Yeah.
I think it's really become white noise. That's
yes, it does. What's it worth to you? That's the thing that you guys have to figure out is, what does a bum in a seat mean to you, Art Factora, standing up? What is the dollar value of that patron coming out to you? Until you guys figure out what that is, it's going to be more of a challenge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. Well, I mean, and it might be a $5 cover that night, but these people say they had the best night at you know, pizza place, bar,
there's all the downstream benefits.
And then,
for
yeah,
sure.
And then five friends come the next time, and you know, it's all of a sudden.
We'll pick this up another. We're running late. By the way, we do have one other contest on the website. We're giving away a ScanSnap S1100, a portable scanner. We're not giving it away till the middle of August, so you got lots of time. But come register and let us know. Don't forget Todd Maffin Summer School. That's it. Next week, we've got more fresh Dotto Tech content. I'm Steve Dotto. On behalf of our Factorum, my guest Todd Maffin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.